once you get it, you give it away to keep it, right? And so that basic philosophy of looking to where are the opportunities where I can take whatever experience that I have and share that with somebody else, it's like built into me. It's kind of baked in.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we've got Rick Warner. Rick, how are you?
I am not happy, actually. I'm just kidding. It's funny. The timing of this is super perfect. Totally ironic that I'm in the middle of my own personal thing, and to talk about happiness is a perfect topic for me today.
Love it. Yeah. So you've come from the depths of addiction and homelessness to now helping others. So can't wait to dive in. So let's do it. Let's dive right in. Rick, what advice would you give to someone who feels stuck in their current situation and is unsure on how to move forward?
Yeah. So I think that going back to my experience of having been stuck multiple times and arguably even stuck right at this moment, and I'm sure I will be stuck again, I have a lot of familiarity with that idea and that experience of being stuck. And what's worked for me multiple times is to go and reach out to the people who have been where I am or how I feel like I am now and get help from them. So whether that's a 12-step program or whether that's a coaching program in business or whether that's another entrepreneur that you see is successful or somebody who's successful in a relationship, you're stuck in your relationship, whatever it is, to me, the biggest thing is to do that reach out and find for the people that are actually succeeding in the thing that you feel like you're stuck in. And maybe even right before that is to realize that even though it occurs as being stuck, you feel like, oh man, I'm never going to get over this. How did I end up here again? That even that itself might be its own fake story.
Are you a believer that we are always right exactly where we need to be in life?
That is such a great question because the most frustrating thing that I've heard from people as I've constantly get stuck and then unstuck and stuck and then stuck is exactly what you just said. You're right where you're supposed to be. And I am actually a believer in that. I think that we are where we are for a reason and that there's an opportunity in each one of those places. The question is, do you take advantage of that opportunity or do you need to get there again and again and again?
Right.
Right. So for me, I'm definitely one of those again and again and again guys. I wish that I would just like, oh, opportunity. Great. I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to learn from this experience. I'm going to do something different. I find myself most of the time beating my head against the wall multiple times in a row before I finally go, oh, I get it. I need to do something different here. I need to, like I said, ask for help or I need to have some different insight or just see this differently or have some courage about doing something different rather than what I've always done every time.
So your answer to how to get unstuck was to go find other people who have been stuck and have found their way out of it. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so my experience with, and I don't know if we get into a little bit, but as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, one point I was 20 years old and I was living in a tool shed. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. And I was so stuck and mired in that world that I really thought it was totally normal that I was living in this tool shed. In fact, depending on what time of the day you asked me during that time, I just said things were going pretty good.
Wow.
And then every now and then I would have this little glimpse of what I would call closer to reality. Who knows what actual reality is since we all have our own subjective reality that we live in. But I had to have this glimpse of like, what are you doing? And maybe you need to make some changes. And I couldn't seem to make the changes, right? So when I saw it was, wow, this is really bad, I couldn't just decide to do something else. And so that's where I get like, for me, the solution was go be with other people that have had the same problem and they have a solution to it. And I kind of immersed myself in that group of people where I was like, oh, there's a whole different way to live. I wasn't going to think myself out of a paper bag. I really needed to get help. So that's my message.
Yeah. So were you able to find someone else who had lived in a tool shed?
It's funny. I've told my story so many times that I have come across a few chicken coop guys, garages, definitely lots and lots of garages. I haven't come across any tool shed people. But in fact, I also want to say I feel a little bit bad identifying a little bit as homeless because I did have a tool shed after all. I mean, there's people that really are homeless. I did not get to that place yet in my life where I'm like literally living on the streets. I don't want to take away from that. That is a whole different extreme experience. So I didn't have a home per se, but because I had a tool shed.
I want to hear more about this experience. What exactly is a tool shed? How long were you there? Yeah. What got you there? How did you shower, eat? Like, give us some more details.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So how did I get there was my girlfriend had a baby when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
I was completely terrified. Obviously, this wasn't planned. She was in high school. And my solution to the fear and resentment around that was to get loaded. It worked for me to get loaded as a solution rather than showing up and being responsible for what I was doing. I felt like I was responsible on the external, but on the internal, I was mad and afraid. And I did that long enough where she was like, either you need to get cleaned up or I'm going to start dating other people. And so at the time I was a golf instructor, there was a tool shed that I actually helped build. And yeah, when it was time for me to leave that house, I built a loft in this tool shed. There was a mattress and a sleeping bag and a heater. And I moved into it kind of temporarily. But what I really did was I was totally just hiding out in there. And I was at this point in my life where I was like, really all I wanted to do was get high and loaded.
Wow.
And that was the perfect place for it. There was no bathroom on the facility. We had a porta potty. So I had a porta potty to go to. And then I had a membership at the YMCA. So I would go take showers at the YMCA. And I lived there for about 1 month while I was doing drugs and just totally out of control. And then I lived there for the first 10 months of being sober as well. And actually, I look back on that 10-month period as one of my fondest memories, to be honest, because
wow.
I had this terribly oversimplified life that was just like work and be sober, do all the things that come with being sober. And it was such a dynamic, explosive period for personal growth that while it was a roller coaster and it was crazy and all the things, it was definitely one of the best years of my life. And I was living in a tool shed for 10 of those 12 months. So
incredible story. You're a golf instructor. So it's at a golf course, I assume, or a practice facility?
Yeah, I was at a driving range. It's no longer there. The facility itself was a temporary facility. That's why we had a porta potty and so forth. The facility itself was only there for about 6 or 7 years. And now it is a golf course. And so where the tool shed was is now the first green on this golf course. And so I've since taken two of my three sons to that same spot and be like, hey, this is where your dad lived in the tool shed.
Incredible.
And all that stuff. Because it was 34 years ago. So,
Rick, what was your childhood like?
Yeah, that is such a great question because we all have childhoods, right? I felt like my childhood was pretty good. There was a divorce with my folks around the age that, so I was 12, 13 years old. I was the oldest child. My sisters are twins. My dad was a minister. My mom was a school teacher. So in a lot of ways, there was a lot of just great stuff there, right? We were in the Central Valley for a good portion of my childhood. And I feel like it was great. But I have to also just acknowledge having done all this work and just personal development work and continuing kind of that whole peel the onion thing, not at all blaming my parents. My parents did absolutely the best they could. They're great parents. They're loving. I'm close with both of them now. But there were things that must have happened that led me to kind of react to life in a certain way, right?
For sure.
And so as I uncover those things, I don't know if that answers your questions, but going back to drugs and alcohol, it's like I didn't react to life very well.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from having a kid, I didn't become a drug addict and alcoholic because I had a kid when I was 19. I was already well on my way. That just was a little bit of an igniter to what I was already doing, if that makes sense. So
100%. Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth, Rick, because I was going to say that. And that's why I asked the question about your childhood is because you don't become an addict because your girlfriend has a child at 19, not. Right?
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
You, like 95 of the 100 clients that have come to me, when I ask that question, what was your childhood like? Their answer is exactly like yours. And that is, well, I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah.
But you don't become an addict if all your childhood needs were met. Marissa Peer, who's one of my mentors, has literally helped over 1,000 addicts. And she says, I have never met one addict that felt that they were enough because guess what?
Oh my gosh, that hurts my heart.
Yeah.
That's exactly, you just went right to my heart right there, that I do not feel like I'm enough. I don't.
Till this day too?
To this day. I mean, yeah, I feel like that's what I'm chasing, right?
Okay.
I want to be enough and it doesn't feel like I am. And anything that alludes to that, so it makes it really difficult to be in a relationship with me, right? So my girlfriend right now, she's dealing with this thing where she's feeling like, can you just be with me and my heart? And what I hear is, you're no good.
Yeah.
You're not enough, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's asking for something so fundamentally important.
Yes. Right?
And I'm so guarded with my heart that I clam up, I get afraid, and then that makes it worse, right? And so that's why I'm saying, like, this is perfect to have this podcast for me. I even told her this morning, I'm like, I'm on this ironic podcast this morning about happiness. And we're right in the middle of exactly what you just described. So
Rick.
And I'm happy to be authentic about that.
You are. Yeah. I appreciate your candidness because look, man, yeah. I have walked in your shoes. I know exactly what you mean because look, we're never going to be perfect. I've come so far in 3 years through my transformation. But there are times where my girlfriend will say something and I'll feel that, oh my gosh, the old Brad's coming out. I'm not good enough.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happened to you is the story of everybody. If you're listening to this and you have issues, it's because you had unmet childhood needs. If your parents got divorced at age 12, I bet you they didn't have an ideal marriage from the time you were like 3 to 12. It probably wasn't that good, right?
Right, right.
Was there fighting? Was there arguing that went on?
No. I mean, so it's difficult, but I remember it being more like a lot of unhappiness. The way my mom was unhappy was kind of angry, and the way my dad was unhappy was shut it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is what you probably do in your relationship.
Totally. It's exactly what I do. It's exactly.
And that's what you did in the shed for 11 years.
Yeah. For 10 months, not 11 years.
11 months. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, no, I would say that's what I did for 30 days, actually. And then the other 10 months, it was really opening up and expanding. I mean, it was a roller coaster, but when I severed my ties with my relationship with drugs and alcohol, prior to that, I was 100% shutting down, right? I mean, all I wanted to do was not feel this. I wanted to not hear what was going on up here, right? And I self-medicated. And then when that was gone, I needed to replace it with something, right? You can't take away one solution and replace it with nothing. And so my solution was to hang out with these people that were also not doing what I was not doing.
Right? Yeah.
And they had a whole process as to how they went about doing that.
So Rick, you've got a mother, you grew up with a mother who's angry. You grew up with
I really don't want to label my mom that way just because that seems so unfair. But can we say it this way? How I experienced it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I don't want to label her or my dad in a particular way.
Sure. Yeah. The meaning that you placed on it was that your mom was angry. The meaning you placed on your dad's behavior was that he shut down. Right. As a child, what we always do is we internalize that. And we say, that is our fault. They must be angry because of something I did.
Right.
He must be shutting down because it's something I did. Do you know why we do that? Because we can control it. If it's us and we're doing something that's causing us not to get love, all we've got to do is be better. So this is happening to me because I'm bad. If I can be better, then I can get the love that I want. So it actually really is helpful to you as a 6, 7, 8, 12-year-old, right? It actually gives you hope for a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
The problem is you have never separated from that 6-year-old kid. Your subconscious mind is driving the relationship that you have with your girlfriend right now. Your subconscious mind drives 95% of your behavior. It doesn't know time. And why doesn't it know time? Because its only responsibility in your body is to keep you alive. So if you
survive, not thrive. Yeah.
Yeah. If you shook the bush and a lion bit you at age 6 or 7 or 8, if you're 85, you want to remember that like it was yesterday. So when you are with your girlfriend and she asks you for love, and as a child, you didn't know how to do that. You shut down. So your brain goes to, I'm 6 years old. She's asking me to do something that literally, it's a life or death for you. You're literally thinking, this is life or death. you are suffering because you're not living in the truth. Most of the suffering in this world, Rick, is self-inflicted. You continue at your age to inflict suffering on you because you're living in the truth that you're not enough. Rick, you were always enough. You are enough, and you always will be enough. Those were meanings that you placed from a child. If I would have been in your shoes, your parents would have treated me any differently. It was their baggage from their childhood and their parents' childhood. He goes, we just keep passing this shit down generation to generation. So we should talk offline because this is exactly what I do. I help people live in the truth. And Rick, when you do that, your life, I know you're a successful business person, and we're going to get to that in a second because you've gone through a major life transformation, but you're still holding on to this truth that you're not enough, which means you probably lack self-love, which means that if you lack self-love, every single area of your life is negatively affected to some degree. When you go through this process, and it only takes 5 weeks, and sometimes it happens in 3 weeks, when you start living in the truth that you are enough, your relationship will go to a level that you probably can't even imagine. Your business will take off. You look pretty healthy, but I promise you, you'll get healthier. Your relationship with your kids will change. The way you see the world will change. Everything will change.
I love it. I mean, listen, this was not what we planned to talk about on this podcast. So. But what I will say and what I love about it is I have experienced multiple transformations in my life that have allowed me even to be to where this point is, right? And this idea of arrival is elusive to me. I like to use this metaphor of like, I'm climbing up this mountain. And in the process of that climb, there are some struggles and where's the trail? And it's really dark or whatever. But every now and then, because I keep moving forward, I come across this vista that is like, wow, I have not been this high before. This looks amazing. This is fantastic. But it's a summitless mountain, right? So for me, it was 12-step stuff, and then it was being coached. And then more recently, I've done a lot of work with Landmark, which is really, really, it really goes, part of that has been to the core of exactly what you're talking about, where I just recently got to kind of go back in time and experience something really important that I got to kind of re-experience as an adult and separate myself from that five-year-old kid who I split my head open and I got in trouble, blah, blah, blah. There's like a whole story. We don't need to go into it, but it's exactly what you're talking about. It's this idea that I gave so much meaning to things that happened to me as a child that I was seeing it through the eyes of a child, as I should. I was a child. But as I've grown older, the stories and the meanings that I gave did not mature with my
change. And they're not expected to change because, again, that's the shaking the bush. You don't want that meaning to change because if it changed, the lion might kill you. Mm. So you have, may have gone to these mountain, the plateaus, as you mentioned.
Vistas, not plateaus.
Vistas. I promise you, you have never been to a vista even close to the one that you will get to when you live in the truth that you are enough. The 12-step program has saved so many lives, and AA is such an amazing organization. But what happens all too often is the family members that I know have done this, is they get sober, so they stop drinking, but they don't fix the underlying thing that caused the drinking, so they still have that turmoil and that pain that affects all areas of their lives. Mm. So anyway, thank you for sharing that with me.
You're welcome.
I'm telling you that there's a huge part to unlock. We've actually started in my practice because Yvonne is my partner in life and in business. And we started doing some couples training. It's been amazing because the problem in relationships, and you have just showed this as a proof to this, is that the problem in relationships are hardly ever the actual relationship between the two people.
Of course, yeah.
It's the relationship that each person has with themselves.
Yes.
And you're living this right now because don't have a deeply connected relationship with yourself. It's affecting your relationship with your girlfriend. If you have marriage issues right now, you're listening to this, and you want to fix your marriage or your relationship, don't worry about changing your relationship or fixing the partner. Just heal yourself, and then everything will change. Yeah. So, when we talked last, Rick, you mentioned that helping others has been a profound part of your journey. Can you tell us more? How has this influenced your personal and professional growth? And how does it help clients today that you work with?
So, again, kind of learning in the fundamentals of a 12-step program, what occurred for me was people helped me without any expectation of anything in return, which was foreign and odd to me until I got an opportunity to do the same thing after I had been sober for a while. The idea is, hey, once you get it, you give it away to keep it, right? And so that basic philosophy of looking to where are the opportunities where I can take whatever experience that I have and share that with somebody else. It's like built into me. It's kind of baked in, which is a slightly overused phrase these days, but it's like, it's what's part of me. As much as it sounds like, oh, wow, what a great guy. He's out there helping people. In reality, I mean, it's because it does so much for me to help somebody else, just like you're experiencing right now. The excitement that you had when you found out that your guest was in the middle of something where you're like, oh my God, like this is going to be great. It's like, you're so enthusiastic about your experience around that and what's possible for me, right? Yes. And you know what's possible for me because you've experienced it and you've helped other people experience it, that your unbridled enthusiasm is just bursting out. Now, you're not getting paid extra for that. You don't have anything down the road. You're not going to get extra points or something. It's an internal feel good that you got to experience right here, that everybody got to watch you. Like if you're watching this not live, but recorded, go back and watch when Brad realizes who he's got on the podcast, not person wise, but in terms of experience. Like his eyes lit up. He's like, oh my God, this is so great. And so that's what exists. That's what's possible for people out there. Part of the whole, when we go back to the beginning of getting unstuck, the beauty of being unstuck, once you overcome something like you did a few years ago, the joy of sharing that with somebody else is just beyond comprehension. There's so many things that were out there. There's so many external things that are out there trying to grab the right car, the girl, the house, the money, the job, the thing, the right clothes, whatever it is. And there's like such a short feel good that gets associated with all those things, right? But the feel good that comes with literally making a difference in somebody's lives, I am so fortunate and humbled by how many men I've had the opportunity to talk to over the last 34 years that they share with me occasion, maybe on an anniversary or something, like something I said or something that made a difference for them. And can you imagine, like, what more important thing could we do?
Yeah.
Right? What more important thing could we do than to have an impact on somebody's life? And so that's where my coaching, like, I cannot really associate that with, I'm a real estate broker, agent. Listen, I'm very fortunate to have helped a lot of people, but I don't get that same feel good generally with selling houses, but I do get it when I get to coach the other real estate agents that I work with, or just the humans that I mentor in life around whatever it is that they're struggling with. Because, oh, and by the way, the other thing is, I couldn't sponsor myself out of a paper bag. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't mentor myself out of a paper bag. I can see it in others. And that's why I need people like you and all the other people that can go, hey, Rick, I know that you can't see this right now, but here's what's in front of you. I just do this, but it's my job to trust you or whoever the mentor is or the coach or whoever the expert is and just do what they have to say. Because here's the conundrum. The insight always follows the action. You can tell me all you want how great it is to be where you are, right? But I'm not really going to feel that until I've done it myself.
Right.
Right. So yeah. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. I got a text last year from a client that said, thank you for changing my life and my family's life.
Yeah.
And I have had a 20 something year successful real estate company flipping houses. And I've made lots of money at times. And nothing has even come close to the personal satisfaction that I got when I received that text. So now you make it part of your program, right? Don't you require the folks that you work with that they've got to actually go out and help other people?
Yeah. Well, I don't like the word require necessarily, but we definitely coach in the way that is kind of broken down the same way. So we're big on accountability groups. For me, being a coach means getting you to actually do something, to take action, not just to inspire you by saying the right words or telling you all my secrets. I'll tell you all my secrets all day long, right? Telling you my secrets on what I've done to be successful means almost nothing unless you are willing to go out and do something about it, which is what I was just talking about. The insight follows the action. And so our big thing is accountability. Are you doing the thing that you said you were going to do? What are the things that you're going to do? And then building an accountability group, and anybody can do this, by the way, you don't need me to do this either, but having an accountability group that you say, hey, I'm going to do this thing today. And then when you've done it, you come back to them and you say, hey, I did that thing I said I was going to do. Now we use a form to do that. And the accountability group is made up of at least one of three categories. So at least one mentor, coach, manager, important person, somebody that you look up to, at least one peer, somebody that's on the front lines with you that sees things the same way, that's experiencing a similar life, and then at least one mentee, which is what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
Somebody that you can be a leader for, that you're being an example for. And by the way, it could be your kids, right? But somebody that you're accountable to from a leadership standpoint. But all three are important. Just leading people that you are mentoring doesn't work without the peer and without somebody ahead of you, right?
Love
so
it.
Like in our dynamic, it could be that our future relationship is that you're in a mentorship role or a coaching role with me. And then I would include you in on my accountability form that said, hey, I'm going to do these things today, Brad, right?
Is this the Daily Navigator tool?
Yeah, this is the Daily Navigator.
So as we close, tell us about that. How do you use that and what is the tool?
So the Daily Navigator is exactly what I just described in an actual form, and you can download it at our website, flowcademy.com.
Is that Flowcademy?
Flowcademy, Flocademy, Flowcademy, Cademy, Flowcademy, sorry. Did we get that right?
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry about that. I don't know how to spell my own company name. Anyway, but there's a free download there for this form, this Daily Navigator, that will help you take the things that are important to you that you feel like, if I did this on a daily basis. So the premise was, if you've read The Compound Effect, I think it's Darren Hardy, or Atomic Habits, like these books are all about, what if I did something small every day, all the time, right? On a regular basis for a long period of time, what would that be like? And so what happened for me was, I started building all these, like, what would happen if I meditated every day? What would happen if I exercised every day? What would happen if I did a journal every day on a personal level or on a work level? What would happen if I talked to 10 different people every day and 50 different people every week? Or what would happen if I met face to face with 15 different people every week? And of those 15, five of them were break breads where I was having some kind of coffee or whatever. The point is that what would happen if I did these things on a regular basis for a long term, right? And I struggled with like knowing that for years until I finally was so frustrated with myself that I would know it and not do it, or I would do it for a few days or maybe in a few weeks, but not with any real longevity, that I just was like, you know what? I'm going to tell some people that these are the things I'm going to do today. It was like in 2019 where I made this thing and I called it the Day of a Champion. And I wrote this big dramatic thing. I will do the following things with the urgency of saving my children's lives. I had these things that I would check off, and then I signed it like a contract and really made the whole one day at a time process something that I was accountable to another group. And that's how it started. So it's slightly different now, but that's the gist of it.
Love it. So if you're listening to this and you've had addiction problems or not, and you kind of feel that, huh, I wonder if maybe I'm not enough, or you have relationship problems, or you're just struggling at all, and you want to know if some of these deeply seated limiting beliefs could be ruling your life from childhood, just go to bradchandler.com/quiz and take this 3-minute quiz, and it will tell you your level of self-love. Rick, where is the best place for people to reach you? On Instagram?
So the Rick Warner on Instagram is a great place to connect with me. Flowcademy.com, as we already said. And I'm going to do something really crazy, but if there's somebody out there that's really struggling with something, I am an open book. My phone number is 415-302-6348. You can just text me and go, hey, I'm struggling. Can we connect? And I'm happy to, that's where the good stuff is by helping people out. So
yeah, we lost someone a couple of weeks ago to suicide, who was a big player in the real estate flipping industry. We lost him to suicide. So I'm going to echo that. If you know someone who's struggling or suffering, pick up the phone and call Rick. Pick up the phone and call me at bradchandler.com/contact. Has all of my contact information, including my cell phone. So, Rick, thank you so much. That was exceptional. I appreciate your candor.
Thanks, Brad. I'm happy to have been part of it and that we went through that process. That was really exciting.
Guys, this concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. I am on a quest to help a million people find freedom by changing their lives, and I need your help. So if you like this message, if you like this content, please share it, please rate it, please review it. Anything you can do to help me get the word out. And until next time, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.